Please do have that Luke chapter 1 open in front of you. That's page 1025. We'll be spending a little bit of time in those chapters. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that as we come to the word that you have spoken, you would help us to listen and to know your voice, that we might know you and know how to live as your people. So please, Heavenly Father, draw near to us for Jesus' sake. Amen. For the next 4 weeks, we're going to spend the sermons on Sunday morning introducing you, if you like, to the essential ideas of the Essentials course. That's a 4-week course that we've run a few times. It's designed for people who might know very little about the claims of the Lord Jesus and what he came and said and did. It might be a course where the people would enjoy going if they want to refresh themselves about those fundamental things, those essentials about the Lord Jesus. And so for these 4 Sundays, there are 4 sessions in that course. We're going to take the basic ideas from that Essentials course and repackage them, hopefully appropriately, for a Sunday morning service. Part of the thinking of this, it means that if you've got friends who you might be considering inviting to something at church or introducing further to the Christian message, you will know that there's nothing to fear by inviting them to the Essentials course, because you'll know what's there, the kind of truths and ideas that they'll be exploring. And it might be that you would feel after these addresses that an Essentials course would be a good thing for you to explore things further where you are. So that's the aim of these next 4 Sundays. Now, clearly, some things are worth listening to. You might learn 1 or 2 strange things about the vicar in the next minute or two. So I think Jules Holland, his rhythm and blues orchestra, and especially when Tom Jones is accompanying them, is always worth listening to. You didn't know that about the vicar, perhaps. I also think that big waterfalls are particularly brilliant to listen to, that roar and rush of the water. I think that it's good to, if you've just been pulled over to the side of the road, I think it's good to listen to the police officer who's talking to you through your... That's a lot of years ago now, I've repented. I had a great childhood. I was in a place where it was really worth listening to my parents. It was also worth listening to the head of Key Stage 3 in the school that I attended. And now that I'm married, of course, it's always worth listening to... You see, I used to say that sort of thing with tongue in cheek to get a laugh, but now, honestly, I do seriously mean that now much more. Anyway, all these things, and people, things worth listening to. Wouldn't it be useful if the Lord of heaven and earth could be listened to? Because the reason that the head of Key Stage 3 and my parents and Jill and so on are worth listening to is because they're helps and guides, and they bring clarity and they help with negotiating and living life in the world. But wouldn't it be so much more useful and perfect and complete if the Lord of heaven and earth could be listened to? Imagine the light, the clarity that would fall, that would come to our minds about life in all its confusions. Imagine how doubt could be challenged and even done away with in much part If we knew that the Lord of heaven and earth said this, how many of our confusions and questions and doubts would be addressed? And we might even be confident that we really knew stuff, that we really knew what was right and wrong, that we really knew what was true and false, because if the Lord of heaven and earth had said, this is what it is, how confident we could be in what we believe and know. The old language says, thus saith the Lord. Well, how useful it would be in the world that God created to be able to say, this is what the Lord says. I mean, here it would carry a certain authority, wouldn't it? If God has spoken from heaven like that, then that would be the authoritative word in our world. All the other words that are spoken and ideas and thoughts that are had, well, his would be the authoritative one. That's why it would be so useful. So I have five different voices in the world telling me what I should do or how I should live or what choices I should make about my life. All those different voices, but then a voice from the Lord of heaven and earth. How useful that would be in working out what we should believe and how we should live, because it would come with an authority that nobody else brought. When we send an ambassador to a foreign country, the ambassador represents the view of this country. Ultimately, that's the view of the Queen, I suppose, in our constitutional setup. And when the ambassador speaks to that in that foreign country, to that foreign ruler, it is like the ambassador says, thus says the sovereign of the United Kingdom. And there's no loss of authority in that truth being spoken to that foreign nation. Well, imagine then when people are able to say in our world, thus says, not the sovereign of the UK, but the sovereign of heaven and earth says. The Church of England sent me its first email to do with Christmas this week, which was a little bit of a shock, because that is well in advance for the Church of England. The shops might have been onto it for a while, but that's pretty good going for the Church of England. And it was about Christmas and getting ready for Christmas. Now, we know that Christmas is about the things that God has done for us in sending the Lord Jesus. But it's also, of course, about God being amongst us. And that was actually the push of the email from the Church of England. The big theme that we're pushing this year is God with us. So Jesus did come at Christmas to do some things which we're told about, but he is also God with us, God amongst us. That's why we had that reading from Luke chapter 1. It's the reading they use in the Essentials course. Because if you look at those verses 31 to 33, we discover that Jesus is the Son of God in the flesh. You'll conceive and give birth to a son. So whoever this person is, he will be in the flesh. You're to call him Jesus, which means the Lord saves, something that he's going to come and do. But who is he? Well, he'll be great. He'll be called the Son of the Most High. He is the Son of God in the flesh. So what we know would be so useful, if we had that word from God, what God has to say, what we know would be so useful has happened. He's come. God himself has come into this world so that we can say, No, no, this is what the Lord says, because he came and he said it. It turns out that the one who came, the Son, is one of three, a community of three. You see that in verse 35, really. Mary, of course, goes, how will this be, since I'm a virgin? And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. The Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the Most High, the Son of God. God has always been in that community of three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the amazing thing about Christmas is that one of the three, the Son, came. Born of Mary, one of us, God with us, amongst us. Now that means we can say, this is what the Lord says. Because the Lord Jesus came. And he grew and he lived and he spoke and he did and he lived. And so that thing which would be most useful has come to our world in the Lord Jesus. God has come and spoken to our world. Now that means that every other word is answerable to the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything else finds its proper place under the authority of what this person has said. It also means, of course, that everything that we think and say as individual people will in the end be answerable to his word. It'll be judged by what he said, because he came onto the public stage and he declared the truth about God. He is the one whose word is authoritative. He's the one who is not only worth listening to, but must be listened to, and by which every other truth must be measured. I put it to you that that is a very, very useful word to have if we're trying to live in the world which God has made. What could be more useful to us? What could be more practical? What could be more of a daily help than knowing what the Lord Jesus has said? But it's not just about the authority of God's word, that which stands over every other word. Because if this Lord Jesus has come, which he has, and this word is in the world, this authoritative world is in the world, we can't just say, well, there we know what's right and wrong, clarity has come, you know, we can be confident that we know what's right. Because it's God speaking, his word's coming. It's not only about authority, it's also about relationship. Because imagine how well we might know God, given that he has come amongst us and spoken. So not just the great authoritative word from God to us, but what that word brings is the opportunity of relationship, because we know God. I don't know if you've ever tried to get to know people without saying anything to them or they saying anything to you. It's not absolutely impossible, but it is very, very difficult. How would you have known that I like Jules Holland and his rhythm and blues orchestra if I hadn't told you? How would you have got that out of me without any verbal communication at all? You might not have wanted to know, but hey. It's through words that relationships grow. Because that's how we discover, sometimes painfully, sometimes joyfully, what the other person is like and who they are and what makes them tick and all those things. And so by virtue, even though it's a great authoritative word, that we are not right to question its authority, even though sometimes we struggle to understand, it is a word which brings relationship. Now, that's not a surprise. Because if God has always been eternally in relationship, Father, Son, and Spirit, then it wouldn't be a surprise that the things he does establish further relationship. We often think when we say it's very well known in the Bible, it says God is love. And we immediately think that means God loves me. Well, that's true. But God is love before he ever loved me. Because God is love, he is already in relationship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That one God in that loving community of three. God is love. You could say God is relationship in himself. Everything God does is in that relationship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the effect of everything that God does is to establish relationship. That's what creation is about. God is already relating in his three persons lovingly, and he creates in order to establish further relationship. So he walks in the garden with Adam and Eve in the creation. And ultimately, Christmas is about establishing relationship. Well, why was that needed? Well, of course, because the world we live in has mostly forgotten, ignored, or rejected a relationship with God. Although that's what we were created for, we've chosen another path. And so God acted again, not in creation this time, but in redemption. The Spirit came on Mary. The power of the Most High, the Son of God, came. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit coming in order to speak to us so that we might know God. And ultimately, the same Trinity worked at the cross because the Son offered himself to the Father by the Holy Spirit, the scriptures teach us in Hebrews. See, God is eternally in relationship himself, and therefore everything he does is in order to establish relationship. And so it's no surprise at all that when God speaks, his word is always authoritative. He speaks in order to establish relationship. Now, you'll hear a lot of talk in the world today about how a relationship that has an authority structure is not a genuine relationship. Because a genuine relationship is always, there's an absolute parity between the two parties. Now, in practice, we know that's nonsense. If you try that with a one-year-old, you're going to end up in real trouble. But, of course, it doesn't need to be that way at all, does it? God comes and speaks with authority. Therefore, we have confidence that we know him well. But what is his motive in doing that? His motive is to woo us. His motive is his love for us. His motive is good. God sends the authoritative word, his Son, to establish relationship because he loves us. Now, once that kind of thinking is in place, I think three things follow. Firstly, there ought to be a real confidence that we are in a position to say, this is what the Lord says. We mustn't shy away from that confidence that God has spoken. And that gives us a confidence in passing that on. That we are the people who can say to the world, no. I mean, obviously with gentleness and respect, but we say, no, this is what the Lord says. Think of those things we just recited in the Creed. That Jesus did die and he did rise. That the Spirit is the giver of life. That judgment is coming. That there is a creator. All those things in the Creed. Yes, this is what the Lord has said. And we should do that confidently. Not based in our own authority, but based, if you like, in that idea of being an ambassador. That we pass on what the sovereign of heaven and earth has said. A confidence. Now, how do we get to know this? Well, clearly, we discover all this through the Scriptures. That's how we know. We just read about that Christmas story where the angel came to Mary. But if God is able to come from heaven in the person of his Son and live amongst us, if God is able to speak that way, seems to me it's very easy for him to make sure that that revelation, that amazing enfleshment of the Son of God on earth, if God can do that, seems very easy for him to preserve an accurate record of what actually happened. And that's exactly what Luke says that he is writing. There have been lots of accounts of this momentous occasion when the Son of God came. There have been lots of accounts. They've been handed down. There were eyewitnesses who saw it. People who served what was said. And so I've made a careful investigation as well, and I've put it all in order. If God, by his Spirit, can have his Son born of Mary, then God, by his Spirit, is well able to get Luke to write exactly what happened. And so we can have a real confidence. There's no loss in not having been there and not having actually seen Jesus in the flesh on earth. Because God has preserved a true record for us. So we should have confidence in the truth and passing it on. But we must take the utmost care in doing so. See how serious it would be to mislead people by saying, this is what the Lord says, if that's not what the Lord has said. How serious that would be to mislead people. Most seriously, because it would undermine the relationship which those true words seek to establish. It'd be like if you've got, I'm sure this happens in all sorts of ways, where somebody says something untrue about somebody and it breaks the relationship that they have with somebody else. Well, that's what happens. So we must take the utmost care in making sure that what we pass on confidently is the gospel of the Lord Jesus and his message. Again, Luke does this, doesn't he? With this in mind, I carefully investigated everything from the beginning. This is true for church leaders. We must be careful in what we teach you. Careful according to the scriptures. But it's true if you're leading small groups, if you're a parent with your child. We pray for the Spirit's help that we might teach the truth carefully but confidently. And finally, I think all this requires a commitment, or at least challenges whether you will commit or not. This word from God. Jesus has come, God has spoken for relationship with him. The most useful thing on offer in the world. The coronation service says the most precious gift that this earth affords. The message of the Lord Jesus. It's very simple, isn't it? Will we listen? That's the commitment to make. Will we listen to the God of heaven who has come and whose word has been kept for us? Do you think that this one is the one worth listening to? If you're younger, you've started some new school year. It might have been a bigger change. You might have changed from institution. You might just have started a whole new course. Who knows what the future choices you'll have to make will be? But over all those choices and all the confusions about what to study or where to go or what to do, over all those, who will you listen to? Who is worth listening to? Who is the one overall? Who will you commit amongst all those other voices? Whose voice will you commit to listen to? Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that because of your work, because of your love for us, we do not need to wander around in darkness or confusion. But we can have absolute confidence about what you have to say. And Father, we thank you that because you have spoken, as we listen and trust your word, we know you. And so, Father, we pray that we might have confidence, that we might show care in speaking and knowing your word, and that we might persist and commit to listening to you first for the rest of our lives. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.